Gosh. And you love your blue suit with the pinstripes and the lovely summer underwear Bess and Walter give you for Christmas and your automatic...
I'm not being frivolous, Sage.
I appreciate you're not. But you want to make a mountain out of two cross sticks.
Sacred Stars of the Milky Way has at last decided to organize a woman's auxiliary. I love the woman's auxiliary. I mean, I love the idea of the woman's auxiliary. Do you refuse to join the idea of the woman's auxiliary? I mean, do the woman's auxiliary idea...
Oh, you're just getting yourself excited, Dick.
I am the woman's auxiliary.
Now, you see, you're not even talking sense.
What will the guys down the Drysey Venus chapter say when they hear Vic Gook's wife refuse to join the woman's auxiliary?
I didn't refuse. I only said I didn't want to make myself conspicuous.
Conspicuous?
Well, you said something about the lodge putting on parades. And me riding down Washington Street on a big white horse.
Well, I'll be riding beside you on another big white horse.
I don't do junk like that. I hate junk like that.
You've never experienced junk like that. How do you know you hate junk like that?
I'm not the type of woman for junk like that.
But I am.
I know you are.
Mom,
Scott,
anybody home?
There's Iceman or somebody.
There is your little son or somebody. Hello, Sonny.
Mildred Tisdall made the public assertion I wasn't good looking.
Millions of women would jump at the chance to ride a big white horse down Washington Street.
Not me.
All my parents on deck by George. Hello, people.
Think of it, Sage. The mammoth parade comes marching by. The band plays and the bugles blare. Who's this beautiful woman riding side saddle with such dash and skill? Why, it's Mrs. Vixia Cook.
Hey, hey.
What's the discussion?
Something on your chin, Willie.
Marshmallow. Hey, just a little while ago downtown, Mildred Tisdall got right up in front of everybody and made the public assertion I wasn't good looking.
Oh, wish. What do you care? Your mother thinks you're good looking.
I'm plenty good looking. Your great white horse, Winnie. Your long silk skirts ripple in the breeze. The plumes on your hat flutter and flash in the sunshine. Your noble steed jingles his silver bridle and you call out, get up! And so the crowd smiles.
I'm still on the horse, huh?
Yes. Listen to the applause.
If you did like most people today, you celebrate.
The world around and face the leader of the counterfeiting clothing manufacturers. I'll teach you to get smart with me, he roared. Whipping his solid gold revolver from its expensive mink holster, he fired three times. Lady Margaret nervously capped her fashionable French spat with the handle of her dainty parasol and pinkened, dimpled, shuddered, sighed, choked, winked, trembled, faltered, and sneezed. The miserable, villainous ringleader of the desperate criminals gave utterance to a snarling chuckle. So evil as to chill an honest man to the bone. Huh?
I bet that's the way the fella chuckled.
Do it again. Yeah? Or maybe more on this order.
Or here.
Your real evil chuckle is good and guttural.
Go on with the story.
The miserable, villainous ringleader of the desperate criminals gave utterance to a snarling chuckle. So evil as to chill an honest man to the bone. Yeah. Lady Margaret glanced down at the toe of her tiny patent leather Mary Jane slipper, gulped, whimpered, gasped, and winced.
Oh, she must be an acrobat.
Sure keeps busy, don't she?
A woman like that skulking around would make me nervous.
Third Lieutenant Stanley drew back his full red lips and revealed twin rows of huge square teeth. The color of old ivory. I am going to kiss you, sweetheart, he screamed. Lady Margaret recoiled, shrank, debouched, shriveled, tottered, stumbled, quivered, twitched, and pranced.
Holy smoke.
You've already given me 36 kisses, dear, she pouted. One more makes 37, shouted her lover, as he embraced her with a will. Suddenly, a crowd of horsemen appeared over the horizon, and our friend was startled and amazed. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Willie. Your father with you?
No.
Didn't I hear talking?
Orville Weenie's here.
Good afternoon, Miss Brook.
Oh, hello, Orville. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It occupies a good deal of my time raising this pompadour.
yes. I imagine that would keep a person busy.
Raising a pompadour keeps a man busy without causing any big strain on his mind. I don't like to make my brain overwork itself. I like my brain to sludge along easy and comfortable.
I was reading out loud some junk from this Third Lieutenant Stanley book. There's a fellow that chuckles an evil, villainous chuckle, and Orville and myself have been practicing that evil villain.
Yes, I'd kind of counted on your father being here.
Anything wrong?
No, only I... I kind of halfway stuck my neck out. I told Mr. Corporal. Say, that's a coincidence, Orville. He'll be over here directly.
My brother-in-law will?
Yes.
Well, where does the coincidence come in at?
Well, you and your brother-in-law both being here at the same time.
Well, don't see much of a coincidence in that setup. I'm often in the same place as my brother-in-law is. Like at the supper table nights.
Oh.
No, I don't see no big fancy coincidence in that setup.
All right, have it your own way.
Not at all.
I'll just stick your neck out, Mom.
Well, I told Mr. Corkle I'd do something for him, and I might not be able to deliver. I gotta get your father's permission.
Well, what'd you tell him you'd do?
I told him I'd fix it so he could play in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band.
Oh?
He wants to be a musician in that band, and I blurted out a little spiel and practically promised him your father to arrange it.
Uh-huh.
They pay a fee to their musicians in that band. It's not much, nothing big and substantial in the money line, but it's something. And Mr. Corporal needs all the cash he can get a hold of.
Yeah. Around home, he bellyaches all day long about it.
Well, that's too bad.
He'll fling himself down his chair there at the supper table of an evening, and he'll scream like a smallmouth bass about how hard up he is. My sister Edith, she'll listen a while, and then she'll say, "Shut up, Vernon. I get so tired of listening to you yelp and whimper."
Well, don't be telling me any family secrets, Orville.
There's no secret to it. My brother-in-law, he'll holler like a wet buffalo about how he wished he had a couple of extra dollars.
I won't listen to private family confidential trash, Orville. Anyway, I'm going upstairs.
Rush, as soon as Doug gets home, holler up and let me know.
Okay.
I'm going to slip in a mound of clothes.
Okay.
Go on with the story.
Don't you have to go read gas meters?
Heck with it. Read.
The wretchedly leader of the counterfeiting clothing manufacturers once again snickered his evil snicker.
Be sure and let me know when your father gets home, Willie.
You bet.
That was a pretty evil snicker.
Yes, yes it was.
Who was that?
Your brother-in-law Vernon plays the piano, don't he, Orville?
He plays it, but he don't play it so hot.
Well, they don't use pianos in a brass band.
Don't they?
No.
Well, this is a kind of a thing that don't worry me a great deal.
No, me neither. But my mother said your brother-in-law wanted to get in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band. If they don't use pianos in a band, why would your brother...
He plays a banjo also.
Banjo?
Tin duke for him. It's got tin strings on it. Funkity, funkity, funk, 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 funkity.
Yeah, I know what a banjo is.
Tin duke for him.
Well, they don't use banjos in brass bands any more than they use pianos.
I don't care.
Well, I was just wondering, is all.
This is one of them situations where I don't feel called upon to exert my brains. They can use banjos and brass bands, or they can throw banjos in the river. Don't make any difference to me one way or the other. I just let such junk sleep. My brain likes to flush along easy and comfortable. My brain likes to lay back folded and relax. My brain likes...
Hello! In the living room, Mommy!
Wow. Uncle Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Rush, honey. How are you, Rush, honey?
I'm fine.
I got Roy Digestively with me.
And I got Orville Weenie with me.
Right.
Is that your father, Rush?
No, it's Uncle Fletcher and Roy Digestively.
I'll be down directly.
Hello, Fletcher. Hello, Roy.
Hello there, lad.
Hello, Orville.
Hello there.
How are you, Mr. Digestively?
Yes, thank you. How's the gas for your business?
Well, he's not working very hard at it this afternoon. Man hates to drive his brains too fast in warm weather.
Rush, honey, where's Mama and Pop?
Mom is upstairs. Papa is not home from the office yet.
I and Roy are just as we're here afternoon.
Yeah?
Papa's not very excited. My brain's getting out and soggy and relaxed. I wouldn't want to do any exciting. Turn them up and make them jump.
Yeah, that'd be
sarcasm intended for that remark, Roy?
Yeah. That's honey. Roy, the Judges Lee and myself are seriously considering buying ourselves a share in the restaurant business.
We?
We are seriously considering purchasing a piece of the little tiny petite club feather pizza.
Yeah, only plan to invest $9 in the enterprise.
How was that, Roy?
Okay, we only plan to invest $9 in the enterprise.
Why did you feel it was necessary to say that, Roy?
Well, I didn't feel anything very sharp about it one way or the other.
What about your business, Roy? You mentioned tons of money.
Food operator keeps his touch when it comes to his own personal affairs. So this don't play out your business. No, the fact is, not the tons of money. No, the fact.
Hey! You and your ribbon rope,
Kendall? You awful car.
Hi, Doug. Doug, old man. Where are you, Kendall? He's upstairs, Doug.
Hi, that old car.
Hi. We got quite a few of the different ones on deck.
Is this it? Rush, is this it?
Yeah.
Hello, Rick, honey. Well, 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 wonderful, okay, beautiful girl.
How are you, Roy?
Yeah. Horrible, it's a pleasure.
Our professor accepted this pitch for $20 here.
Oh, God. Hey, we had four more guys who could get up a baseball nine or a vaudeville track wire at. Gentlemen, life is full of joy and laughter.
Sure, sure.
You better ask. And I want to see you.
I'll be right down.
Thanks, honey. I'm enjoying the dinner. Thank you for having me. We are seriously toying with the notion of buying a share of a little tiny petite pheasant feather tea company.
Really?
We've got a little thought around with our heads. We might just possibly enter the restaurant business.
Great stuff.
It is great stuff. It is great stuff. The restaurant business are one of the most expansive businesses on the face of the earth. You take some party, he goes into the ribbon business. There would it go into.
The women require ribbons to base on their undershirt,
but they don't require ribbons to base on their undershirt and reserve. On the other hand, people have to eat every day.
Yeah, that's where the rest of the business has got it open to ribbon business.
You're proud of this, Roy.
All right.
All right. The lab is a motherland hub to take the spot.
No doubt about
it. Nick, honey, think of negotiations as important, and I and Roy might be part owners of the little town for two spots and other tea shopping.
All the sun rises in the heavens
tonight. You will swim straight to the boat.
You were asked the question, are they lab?
No.
Then I think if I were you, I'd come down.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, Danny, I'll prevent you. I hope you and Roy are good and successful in your enterprise.
I've always had a private ambition myself to go into the wrestling business.
Years ago, when I was a young trunk in Belvedere,
Hello? Hello?
That's Mrs. Trogle.
Is it?
I recognize your voice.
Huh. Hello!
That's Mom's friend, Miss... Come on, Orville.
Yes, indeed.
To continue, Satan, Vicky, honey, with these amazing announcements, which...
I haven't said what I wanted to say yet, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine.
Now, Vic, Mr. Corkle will be here in a minute. I saw him earlier this afternoon. I don't know whether I've done right or wrong, but I practically promised him you'd arrange it so he could be taken into the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet van.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. You got Pelter Unbleed into that band, and you got Michigan Fishigan from Michigan, Michigan into that band. Mr. Corkle's been nice to us in lots of different ways, and he's a deserving man and can use extra money. And he's a perfectly grand musician.
Don't he play the piano?
He plays the piano fine.
They don't use pianos in brass bands.
It's the banjo he wants to play in the band. He's got a lovely banjo he plays.
Banjo?
I'll explain the banjo to you, Vic. The banjo is a...
They don't use banjos in brass bands, say?
Who don't?
Nobody don't.
Nobody don't love me no more. That is the song the Dead Game Sports used to sing back in the southwestern part of eastern North Dakota. I did.
Have they got a banjo player in the sewage disposal worker's silver cornet band?
Of course not.
Well, why do you say of course not?
Because they don't.
All right. Let him hire Mr. Corkle.
There's no such a thing as a banjo in a brass band.
It makes music, don't it?
The banjo gets drowned out in a brass band. Take the ordinary half-wit in a brass band.
You know good and well you could do this little thing for Mr. Corkle.
But they don't use banjos in bands. They don't use banjos in bands.
They could use banjos in bands.
No.
Oh, you're just taking this attitude because I refuse to ride down Washington Street on a motorcycle.
It couldn't hurt you to ride down Washington Street on a motorcycle.
I practically promised, Mr. Corkle.
And don't use that, Josie's bag.
Well, let him start.
Say, this is ridiculous.
You're right, it is. Does a banjo make music or don't it make music?
Oh, I'm tired of talking about banjos.
Now, you'd rather talk about motorcycles, I bet.
You people aren't becoming disputatious, I hope.
I'm very much afraid we are.
Banjo.
Motorcycles.
What's that? It's the kid down on the front porch chuckling their evil chuckles.
Look, are you in the living room?
And here is Mr. Corkle.
Diced man to a pulp this morning. I beg your pardon, Mr. Gook.
He didn't say anything, Mr. Corkle.
I expect he was just making a little joke.
Yes.
In the year 1909, I had something in my tooth and it refused to come out. I forget what I'd done about it.
Telephone to keep him, please, likely.
Very funny, Roy.
And how is Edith's mother, Mr. Corkle?
Edith's mother has been enjoying robust health in recent weeks, Mrs. Gook. Of course, she will insist on overdoing. That bad, naughty girl, sometimes Edith and I feel like giving up. Like this morning.
Yes? What'd she do?
Well, she... I'm afraid this will sound silly.
No, let it out. Let it out. What'd she do?
Well, the young man... That's the young man that lives next door, Harry Screecher. He owns an automobile roadster.
Dromedaries, they call them.
Do they? I thought a dromedary was some kind of a camel.
Almost the same thing.
Yeah. A camel is almost the same thing as an automobile.
Yes.
Yeah. I see.
Well, go ahead, Carter. This young man, Screecher, was lowering the canvas top on his automobile roadster. And when he got it lowered, he produced a sort of a canvas envelope you button around a canvas top. He got all the buttons buttoned up except the one just above the left rear wheel, and that one refused to button. So he asked Edith's mother, who was standing there on the sidewalk, to help him. Well, Edith's mother struggled and tossed at that darn thing, and after a while, she accomplished it.
Oh, is that all?
No. That isn't all. Something seemed to be wrong about the automobile, and when they investigated, the young man and Edith's mother discovered that the left rear wheel was up in the air off the ground.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
Well, Edith's mother is muscular, and no mistake. She gets awful, awful tired, but there's no argument about her being muscular.
Orville have really got evil chuckles worked up now.
Well, hello, Rush. And Orville, you're here too, huh, Orville?
Yeah.
How many gas meters have you read this afternoon?
Two.
That's not a very good report.
Well, I don't aim to murder myself, Orville.
Well, Mrs. Gook, about that little matter we discussed earlier this afternoon, did you come to some decision? I mean...
I mentioned the matter to Mr. Gook.
What did he say?
They don't use banjos in brass bands.
Not as a general rule, they don't, I guess.
They never do. Not a brass band in the world with a banjo player.
There's no law against a brass band with a banjo player.
Well, of course not.
A brass band with a banjo player would be silly.
Mr. Corkle is silly.
I didn't say that.
Your remark could be interpreted to mean that.
This conversation is going shite.
Who is making it that way? And you boys can stop that. Miss, could you, if you wanted to, arrange it so that Mr. Corkle could play in the Sewage Disposal Workers Silver Cornet Band?
They do not have banjos in bed.
Corkle, I am Roy. Here may enter into the record book.
Is that a fact?
We are seriously toying with the notion of purchasing a piece of a little tiny petite present for their tea shopping.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Gonna invest $9.
Roy, you've got it again. You spurred out your business. You mentioned tons of money.
Vic, I'll make a deal with you.
What's that?
If you'll fix it so Mr. Corkle plays his banjo in the band, I'll join the ladies' auxiliary.
Yes?
Yeah.
No fooling?
No fooling.
You'll ride down Washington Street in the parade on a white horse?
Yes.
As you ride down Washington Street in a parade on a black 42nd?
Yeah. That's a deal.
Good.
Cuckoo,
band rehearsal is on Monday night at 8 o'clock in the Unity Building.
I'm just enormously grateful, Mr. Gordon.
Thank you for having me.
Are we all happy here?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Life is full of joy and laughter.
Yeah, like in the Sir Lieutenant Stanley book. Give me another kiss, Lady Margaret, screamed the handsome young officer. The beautiful woman yielded him the sweet caress. Sir Lieutenant Clinton Stanley was so happy and crazed that he leaped high into the air, clicking his heels together 5 times before returning to the ground. That was a dandy kiss, he howled, and the young couple walked 2 by 2 into the sunset.